He cares a lot about what his people have been up to. And it is a great encouragement to us when we learn about them. I'm not saying it's on the same level of scripture. It's not inspired word of God, but God has been using his people. And we as believers can be mightily encouraged. And it's a great testament to our faith as well. Apologetically, I think a great underused resource is just look at what the church has been doing and look at how much they have done and changed. Too often people say, well, the classic canard, I believe in Christians, that they really believed in their word. Fine, don't take my word for it. Take George Mueller's and D.L. Moody's and Charles Spurgeon's and take Jonathan Edwards. Take these people who lost everything but continued faithfully. Take John G. Payton's. Take Gladys Aylward's. Let them be the witnesses to Christ. Do you think that they could have lived like that? Because I tell you what, I don't see any other faith that has close to as many martyrs, close to as many social causes that they have cured themselves, close to as much desire to missionize the whole world. There's nothing like it. Now, there are other faiths that want to spread their message throughout the entire world, but only one faith will go to every tribal island and convert their book into their language, write down their language for the first time, hand it to them and say, this is the book you need to know. And that is Christianity.
Yeah. One of my many problems with God Is Not Great by Christopher Hitchens was the fact that he seems to have a very giant blank spot in history where he says, you know, the Christianity has done nothing but all these terrible things. And then you just have to go, are you looking at the past like 12 minutes? Because, if you want to take that as the scope of the entirety of church history, then, okay. So you don't like that. Certain people don't like pigs. Write a whole chapter about that, which is in there. But the very fact that if you look at hospitals, or the very fact that liberals can use the universities against us now, are because Christianity is the one that founded them for the elite class of people that were to preach the gospel to the common people.
Now, oftentimes, the very tolerance that they use against us, whether it's Ethiopia's tolerance towards Islam in its earliest days that then allowed Islam to be Ethiopia's number one enemy for 1600 years. The very tolerance that universities allowed of different ideas, so actual ideas could be discussed, is now being used against us. Where'd they get that idea from? It came from the Christians. We said, let other ideas come to the table. We'll win in the world of ideas. And then their side can't win in the world of ideas, so they have to use force to overcome because in general, it's just not won through arguments. I know they don't like that. And even just, you mentioned Chris Richens, but in a historical example, because I keep saying like church history is forgotten. If you've heard of Dan Carlin, he's a very popular historical podcaster, big name. He recently did an episode on slavery. It's got a lot of great information if you're interested in learning about slavery. He mentioned Christianity and when it came to the part of bringing slaves to the New World and stuff like that. And then when he talks about the end of slavery, he never once mentions Christianity. And I go, how can you talk about the abolition movement and not mention the fact that all of the original forerunners of this movement were Christians? You might as well talk about how eugenics happened and not mention the fact that it was Christians who said, you can't do this to people, but they always leave us out.
Yeah, and not just halt slavery, but then send military resources to stop slave traders from going out and abducting more people. If this was just this hurts the working white person in England, why are they then getting on military ships and going out and saying no more?
One of the reasons David Livingstone could move through Africa was because he was British and Africans were going, no, the British don't slave trade anymore. In fact, they're trying to stop the Portuguese. And that gave him a little bit of a pass where other people for hundreds of years had not been able to do so. Why did David Livingstone also worked in the slave trade, and Henry M. Stanley, his protege, did end the slave trade in much of that part of the world. And I mean, to the degree that's ever been ended, because it's still in that part of the world, but to the degree that it was international, they ended it. And yet, if you were to read a historical secular textbook, or you were to hear the same lecture of how to fight slavery, the Christians would be exempt. And at the very end, they'd go, but Christian nationalists are bringing back slavery. I go, bringing it back, we're the ones who ended it. We don't have any desire to bring it back.
Right. Yeah. That's amazing. And the very fact that the abolitionists were the first people most likely to get killed and lynched during their time. Is just a great, I mean, again, I go back to what we learned in history. I knew about the abolitionists, and you know, if you take a show of hands in any class and you go, okay, who would be an abolitionist? Everyone would raise their hand. But
yeah,
no one appreciates the culture of the time, the movements at the time, and just how unpopular abolitionism was. You know, there's a really great movie called Young Mr. Lincoln, where he's got this like looked up to the heavens speech, and it's a great speech, and it's a great film, and it's all about, you know, the common ancestry of man and how we're all there. But then when you realize just how little that took place over the preservation of the Union, that's where we kind of get this, for lack of a better term, whitewashing of history, where we always want to be seen as the good guy in history, and I think we keep supplanting ourselves rather than appreciating like just how unpopular these movements were. Mm-hmm. You know, Athanasius Contra Mundum, we stand against the world. I would be there too.
Yeah.
You don't understand what that means to have the entirety of the Roman Empire coming down mm-hmm. on you and kicking you out from, you know, if you get kicked out of your city for whatever reason, that would be weird. But I mean, no one moved more than 3 miles away from their cities at a time. Yeah. And so you're like, okay, go into the wilderness. It's like, that was truly the wilderness, and good luck surviving. And then do that 5 different times, all because, you know, you won't pinch the salt to Caesar or the, mm-hmm. the church leadership at the time.
No, we really think there's a quote by Martin Luther. I'm going to totally butcher it, so forgive me, but it's something to the effect of, if you say you'll hold every fort, you'll hold every fight, except every battle, except for where the culture is current. And I'm super butchering it, where the culture is warring the hardest right now, then you're a coward. You're worth nothing. Oh, great. You hold the Nicene Creed. Right now, we're battling over whether boys can be girls and girls can be boys, and whether marriage is in between a man and a woman. But I'm great that you hold the Nicene Creed. That's wonderful. That's not where the battle is happening right now. Once we get back to that battle, that'll be great. There are plenty of people who say they hold certain orthodox facts, but when the war is waging on, they're on the other side, right? Like, they don't care about the children in the womb, or they don't care about that person being made in the image of God, or they don't care about that slavery or this and that. If you want to know whether you would have taken the hard, unpopular stances, just look at your life. Are you taking any hard, unpopular stances right now? And I get it. Some people are going to go, I want to, but my job. I want to, but this and that. I'm in school. I completely understand that there are times when your circumstances make it very difficult for you to speak the truth. I still encourage you to try to do the best you can, because we will be judged and held account for everything we do and say, and everything we don't do and don't say when we should have. And it's never been a better time to be a Christian and stand on truth, because we're not fighting some of those really tough battles where it's like, wait, well, you know, wait, was this, I didn't really know scripture and pore over the Greek to understand some of these terms. I don't want to eat bugs. I don't want to eat dead bodies. And I don't think little boys can become girls. It's never been easier to stand for truth.
If it was good enough for John the Baptist, I'm sorry, but locusts are the way to go. And they'll use those passages against you.
They'll happily use everything they can, but it's never been a better time. It's also never been easier in my mind. I don't think it's ever been clearer to see how much the leadership of our Christian world is discontent. So we live in a very interesting time. I'm trying to think if there's ever been a time, maybe the Catholic days, it's been maybe since the Catholic days, where the leadership, the Christian leaders, if the world were to point to and point it out at our leaders, are so completely disconnected from Christian living and so completely disconnected from the man on the street, the average person living and walking out their faith. Our leaders are not really what they say. And yes, God always said you'll always have, you know, wolves in sheep's clothing. We've always had charlatans. But has there ever been a time where the number one bestsellers, the number one music, the number one everything has been coming from charlatans and these fakes, basically? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying every single leader is. I'm just saying a lot of them really are. And yet the good news is it's also never been more clear. People know a Christian when they see one now. They're the guy who's getting a lot of hate, but it's very clear to be able to distinguish yourself these days too. So, you know, it's a bit of a good news, bad news. The bad news is there's lots of fakes. The good news is if you're the true and authentic Christian, you will be seen. And this is a very good time for your light to be seen in the darkness. It's not fun to live through those kind of eras of history, but you're not the first. The Puritans had to live through it in the late 1600s when they had to go out to barns 5 miles away, walking there in the dark to preach the gospel. We have it pretty easy still. It's going to get harder, I think, but again, we have it pretty easy and you can hold on. And you're not being oppressed by an institution calling itself Christian, like in the Church of England or the Catholic Church or some of those, you're being oppressed by an institution that very much knows it's not Christian. And so the stark contrast between us is clear as day.